Randy, you just let me know with a hand signal, brother. Does that mean we're on? All right. Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Good to see you. Hey, Brother Jeff, you doing all right? Good, 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 good. All right, welcome everybody to our Wednesday night service. So good to see everybody. And can y'all hear me okay? Everybody hear me good? Everybody doing okay today? Doing fine. Good to have Mary and Sammy back with us. Back from Staten Island, New York, New Jersey. Yeah, see, I get all that confused. Yeah, you went to New Jersey and New York. Okay. New Jersey's not New York. that's okay. So. Okay. New Jersey, New York. Okay. All right. Sharon, are you from New Jersey? Ah. Ha-ha. That's why you were pointing. Holy cow. Well... That's all right. That's all right. Well, good to have you back. And Miss BJ, good to see you tonight. I know that you had an outpatient surgery yesterday, I believe it was. Doing okay tonight? You're here, right? All right. Well, that's still got your foot. Still got your foot. And that's so good. I'm so glad that you still got your foot after the foot doctor. That is a very good thing. Good to see Miss Mary Kelly. And she's doing good. Hassan, did you have a hand up tonight? I thought I seen you. Did you go to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm going back. I have to get all my teeth pulled out.
Oh.
I have cavities.
All of them?
Yeah, I just have some kind of disease.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Cassie says she wanted to pull them out for you. Nurse's aide. Yeah, she's a nurse's aide. She does good. Well, we, when are you having that done there, Hassan?
I'm not sure that I have to schedule the next appointment.
Okay.
They're worried about my insurance.
Yeah. Well, I got your messages and I was praying for you, just so you know.
I wish I knew how to text you.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll do better about answering them calls, I promise. Sometimes my phone is on another mode than I am. But rest assured, I get your messages, and I get all of your messages if you leave me a message, and I try my best to get back to you in a timely manner. But anyway, so good to see everybody tonight. And let's just remember those on our prayer list. We'll run through them. And then we'll open up the floor if you have something in addition to what's been said already. Let's remember our children's home and staff and children, our leaders there. James and Shirley Townsend. Brother James is doing better, but Miss Shirley is still under the weather. Let's remember Don and Carla Rich over in Peru. Let's remember Miss Claudia. She goes tomorrow, I believe it is, for MRI and on her leg, I believe it is. And so we're going to be finding out what's going on with her. So, Miss Claudia, if you're following us tonight on Facebook, we love you. We're praying for you. James Shirley Townsend, we love you. Praying for you, too. We love everybody. And praying for everybody that we have knowledge of that's going through something. But let's remember Brother Harold Dolph and then the Palmers, Leonard and Dolores, Connie Norton with her heart issues. That's Trail's wife. Randy and Diane Ely. The Dailies, the Ashworths. Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, which are shut-ins. McCrickers, which are shut-ins. Joyce Manning, shut-in. James Tolan Brown and the Marines. Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. And also, I'd like for you to remember Tyler's grandmother, Miss Robin. And we had Ricky's memorial service today. which was Robin's lifelong friend, partner, just love of her life. And I was thinking, I couldn't, never found out who was doing the funeral. And so when we got there today, here comes Brother Snyder. And Brother Snyder was doing the funeral, and it really made perfect sense because Ricky Duncan, grew up at the children's home back when it was over off Atlanta Road area, back off Windy Hill down in there past. And so that connection was made, and I was able to step in and help assist with the service today over at West Cobb. But do remember Miss Robin and family, and of course the cancer came on Ricky kind of really fast, actually, and he did the best he could do to fight that. But today he is in glory, and he is healed, and he is suffering no more from no cancer. Ricky, of course, made a profession of faith. He was born again. He was saved. His life changed. And Brother Snyder brought a message about the prodigal son who came back to the father, and what a beautiful picture that was. So Ricky left assurance in our hearts of his salvation. But just remember them, if you would, in prayer. Any unspokens tonight? You don't want to say it, but you just want to lift your hand saying, God, please know my situation and help me. All right. He definitely knows your situation, and he's definitely going to help you.
I have a praise.
Oh, let's hear it. What? Holy cow. That is crazy. Lord mercy. Yeah. You just never, never know. Were you at a red light or driving? Jeez, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everything is okay. Thank you for sharing that. That is a praise. Does someone else have a hand up? Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's remember this request tonight. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. I just want to mention this coming up Sunday morning will be our baptism service, and we'll, of course, bring our message first, and then we'll baptize at the end of the service. And that's going to be Jalen and Gracie, who live at the children's home. So that'll be an awesome service. And then Sunday night, keep in mind, we're going to be downstairs, and like we normally do that last Sunday night of every month. And so we're going to be doing that. And of course, when we get into some of the summer months, we will go back to having Sunday nights downstairs for a while. Did everybody enjoy that? Our social time and devotion time every Sunday night downstairs for a couple months. All right. Well, we'll get back to doing that here shortly. But remember, this Sunday night we'll be downstairs for that. And, of course, looking forward a little bit. In May, we have, you know, May is for graduation. May is for Mother's Day. But also First Baptist Tillman Corner from, I believe, Mobile, Alabama will be with us again. Their youth group will be with us on the 29th of May, the very last Wednesday night in May. And I'll announce that start time. It may be 6 o'clock for that Wednesday night service for that night. I think we did that last year. But the whole choir is filled with young people. It's just a great time. So remember that. And then to reconfirm VBS dates, stand as is. We thought we was going to have to shift them around a little bit, but VBS dates will be July 19th through the 21st. That's Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday night. It's just going to be a short VBS this year, but we're tippy-toeing back into it. Want to make sure that we got enough to accommodate. Want to make sure we got enough workers equal to the kids we have and things like that. But it's going to be a good VBS. And the prayer is, the goal is to make it bigger next year. And so we just want to do it that way. So remember that on our coming up list here at the church. I do want to say also that not this Sunday, of course, but next Sunday, me and Christy want to go away for a couple days. I think Thursday through Sunday, we're just going to go up to Blue Ridge for a little while and spend some time. So we won't be here Sunday on next Sunday, the first Sunday in May, May 5th. Of course, we have preaching duties covered. And so just wanted you to know ahead of time, we're going to take a couple day trip and then be back with you on that following Wednesday. Anything else to mention? All right. Well, every Wednesday night we have a time of prayer together at the altar. If you're physically able and would like to, you can meet us down front. And we'll have a time of silent prayer together. Or you can pray right where you're at. That's fine with us, fine with me. Then Brother Jeff has a song, and then we'll bring the lesson for tonight. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Church singing along, sound good. And it's what we need. It's a closer walk with the Lord. And to receive all the good things that He has for us. And He certainly has good things. Y'all excuse me just for a moment. My mint didn't get done in time. So I need to dispose of that. All right, make your way tonight, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2, we're going to read one verse in just a moment, and that is verse number 12. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to read, just after a brief illustration, we're going to read Philippians 2, 12. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. God, we want a closer walk with You, because we know that when we walk in the light, as You're in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, God. We're so very thankful that we can walk with You. I pray tonight, God, that You would help me be a vessel that You could use. I pray Your word would be clear and simple. I pray, Holy Spirit, You'll communicate it to the hearts of Your people. And Lord, let us be challenged, let us be changed and encouraged by the time that we leave tonight. We love You, we thank You, we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Philippians 2, verse number 12, in just a moment, let me say this. If you have certain genetics physically and you're trying to get healthy, get into shape, your transformation can occur rather quickly. Now, if you have a certain genetic spiritually, salvation, and you're trying to get into shape or get healthy spiritually, your transformation can occur rather quickly. I know that my brother, he won Mr. Georgia bodybuilding competition years ago, and he did. In fact, about 3 years ago, he won Mr. Georgia, the bodybuilding competition. So in my family, there is some genetics that we have that if we really apply ourselves, health can follow rather quickly. I mean, my brother, it seems like when he gets into the gym, he's whipped up in shape and muscles and Popeye the Sailor Man, you know, all at one time. And me, myself, I've actually lost and gained since 2002. I've lost and gained 100 pounds at least three different times. If I really apply myself, because we have that genetic, then my transformation, people in our family, can happen rather quickly. Many people have good genetics. Some is a bit more challenging to get healthy. But any of us can get healthy if we want to physically, as long as we apply ourselves. But tonight, if you are saved, you can experience a transformation where you can get into shape rather quickly, or at the very least, at a steady pace. You can be on your road to experiencing more joy, more peace, a closer walk with Jesus if you have that genetic of salvation. And we know that salvation is received. Tonight, notice if you would, in Philippians 2, verse number 12, Paul writing here, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Tonight I want to talk to you about working out your own salvation, or work out your own salvation. Notice I didn't say work in your salvation, because the Bible doesn't say work in your salvation. Paul says those that are saved, that has salvation, it is the job of us to work it out. to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we that are saved have a genetic salvation that was put there by God the moment you accepted Him, His Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have the ability to, again, experience joy in the midst of a world that's crumbling. We have the ability to experience the peace of God when our world is shaking. We have the ability to be an overcomer and not be bound by sin. We have the ability to become more like Jesus and be able to be used by Him because of salvation. And so tonight we are to work that out because it's already been worked in. And so just for a few moments tonight, that's what we want to share. I want to talk about the command to work out your own salvation, the construction of working out your own salvation, and then the conviction of working out your own salvation. So number one tonight, the command. The command. Notice with me that Paul says in this verse, he says, work out your own salvation. And so Paul says to the saints here at Philippi that Christians are to work out their salvation. Again, not work in, but work it out. Work it out. We know that salvation is by grace and the free gift of God and not of works or human merit. Now, Galatians, turn if you would to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 16. There's the command to work out what's been worked in, to exercise what's been worked in, worked out. All right? And we know that salvation wasn't by human merit. It's not by the works which we have done, but it is by the grace of God salvation has been given. Now, in Galatians chapter number 2, in verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have to believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So this verse tells us that there's not enough good we can do. I mean, if you were to attempt to keep the law, to the Ten Commandments, and if you were to attempt to uphold them, you could never do so. James says, if we are guilty in one, we're guilty of all the commandments. And so the Bible says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We can't be justified by the works of the law because we can't uphold the law. We fail to the law time and time again. And so the Bible tells us that we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, what does the word justify mean? In a nutshell, just if I had never sinned. Justify had never sinned. So the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law or by works, there's no way that we could work our way to deserving that our sins be forgiven. There's no way that we could work to have our sins be remitted, be taken away, not by the works of the law, he says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So I said that to say this, that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. And so we know that salvation comes by grace. It is the free gift of God and is not by human merit. Also, I want to read you another verse. You can go ahead and turn to, if you would, while we're page turning, Titus. Titus chapter number 3. Listen to this in verse number 5. Titus 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's by the grace of God, the mercy of God, through faith, and repentance, of course, is how we actually got in, is how we got saved, how that Jesus came into our hearts, is by grace, by mercy, through faith. It is a gift of God. And so now we have salvation. Those who have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, He is in your heart in the person of the Holy Ghost. And it was totally grace, totally mercy. Now the call is to exercise what's in there. The challenge is to work out what's in there. And so we see the command. Paul says back in Philippians chapter 2 in verse number 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so the salvation referred to by Paul is something already possessed by the believer. Paul says to work out your own salvation. Somebody can't work your salvation out for you. You may have a loved one, and I hope you do, that's saved, and I hope you have more saved than not saved, and they may not be progressing as far as you'd like for them to. And as much as you would like to work out their salvation, as much as you would like for them to mature and grow in the Lord and follow them closely, it's nothing that you can do. You can be a good influence on them. You can invite them to church. You can pray for them. But they have to work out their own salvation. I'm held responsible for what I do for Jesus in my life, how I conduct my life after salvation. You're responsible for yours. You're responsible. And on and on. Everybody is responsible. Christy can't make me mature no more than she wants me to. That's up to me. I can't make her mature no more than I want her to. That's up to her. And so it's up to, we have our own races to run, our own battles to fight. And so Paul says here in this verse, work out your own salvation. And so salvation is a very personal thing. It's a personal matter between God and man. Once a person is saved, they must seek to please God and fulfill the purpose for which God saved them. So Paul says we're on this road, we're on this course, and we're running, and we're going toward a goal, and that is to be more like Jesus, to experience His purposes, to experience His joy and His peace, to serve others, to be a blessing, to share the gospel. And so Paul says it is a matter of not working in your salvation. It's already there if you're saved. It's a matter of working it out. And so we see the command here. Paul says work out your own salvation. And so that's the command. What about the construction? What about the construction? Well, I want you to notice in this verse, he says, work out. Work out your own salvation. The term, the words, to work out your own salvation means to bring forth or bring to the surface that which is in the heart. And so he says that we need to bring forth what's in our heart. We need to work it out. We need to bring to the surface those qualities that are in us that Jesus put there. Jesus, in all of His qualities, is in our heart. It's our job to bring it to the surface, to exercise ourselves spiritually. When a lost person is saved, they become a new creation in Christ. Don't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we see that when a lost person is saved, they become a new creation, a new creature. And they now possess the divine nature or God's nature. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter 1:4. And I'll just read a verse here just to highlight what we're talking about. 2 Peter 1:4. We now possess a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we have a divine nature. We have the God nature in us. That's why we desire to think. Do you desire the things of God tonight? We're not talking about desiring things of God to earn merit with God. We're talking about we desire the things of God because God has already shown favor towards us through salvation. Because we got salvation, we desire the things of God. Do you desire the things of God tonight? Do you truly desire them because of the work of salvation? So we have the divine nature. We have the God nature, which is Christ in us. And so Christians must let Christ shine forth and allow Him to work through their lives, through our lives. For this to happen, believers must discipline the flesh, fight the devil, walk in the Spirit, and constantly labor to maintain good works and a good testimony. And so this is a part of our spiritual warfare, and it will always be a spiritual warfare as long as we're on planet Earth. We will always be fighting and warring and battling. And you know, really, the devil only messes with those who he's threatened by. If the devil is messing with you, he's threatened by you. You have such a walk with God where he's threatened by your walk. And so you could take that as a compliment, actually. And so there's the construction here. He says, work out, bring forth. You're a new creature in Christ. You have a divine nature. It takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes laboring. But we are to work out our salvation. We are to bring forth good works because the good one is living on the inside of us. Now, let's see. We're in Philippians chapter 2, or at least I am. Philippians chapter 3, notice with me verse number 12. Still talking about the construction of working out our salvation. Philippians 3, 12. Paul says this, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I'm not perfect. Can you say tonight with me, I'm not perfect. Again, I'm not perfect. Again, I'm not perfect. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but we may not be perfect tonight, but we still have an obligation. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul says, God saved me. He apprehended me. And now I'm living a life where I'm not perfect. I'm always challenged. But I am trying to apprehend the one who apprehended me. Tonight, if you are saved, God apprehended you. Before I fall backwards here on my head, God apprehended you. The moment you said, I do, to Jesus, okay, He apprehended your heart with conviction. He drew you to Himself. You said, yes, Lord, I want you to save me. He apprehended you. Now, we are trying to apprehend Him. We are trying to apprehend the purpose by which He has for us. And during this is a journey. This is a path. This is a walk, a daily walk. It's a fight. It's a battle. And so we're trying to work out our salvation. We're trying to get familiar with the purposes He has for us. And so Paul says, I follow after. He says in verse number 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so Paul says that God apprehended him for a reason, and it was for Paul to glorify God and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul says, I now am trying to apprehend that purpose. Paul was diligently seeking and pursuing to fulfill the will of God and purpose of God as to why he saved him. So Paul here could say, I am working out my own salvation. I'm working it out because he put it in, and now I'm working it out. I'm trying to follow him. I'm trying to apprehend him. The word apprehend here in verse 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. That word apprehend or apprehended, it means to take eagerly, to take eagerly, to seize, to possess, literally or figuratively, apprehend, attain, come upon, comprehend, find, perceive, to overtake. So Paul says, he says, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to eagerly seize what God wants for my life. Is anybody eagerly trying to seize the good things God wants for you? I'm sure we are. We're here tonight, aren't we? We're eagerly trying to see. I want every good thing God has for me, don't you? I know that God wants, God has more things in store for Christy and I, our marriage and my relationship with my daughter and, you know, just different things in our lives and friends and family, and God has different purposes. And I'm eagerly trying to seize those things. They're not just going to happen. They're not just going to fall in my lap without any effort. Keep it in mind, this is also a workout term. Working out. Work out your own salvation. What do? When you work out, you move your muscles. You get that heart rate up. I still, for those, I know you're not wondering, but if you were, I'm still walking in my neighborhood. Next month on the 6th, it'll be a year. It'll be a year I've been walking. And I know I've said it a few times, and I ain't going to keep on saying it about the weight loss or whatnot. But it's a decision, I want to tell you. When I first started, I was eager to get out there. Oh, I couldn't wait. Get on my tennis shoes and just walk around the circle. It's exactly 1 mile, and I feel so accomplished when I do that with diet and all the other stuff. And the weight was just coming off. And here we are a year later. I still got the weight off, and I'm going down a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you what, to jump up and want to throw them walking shoes on and get out there, it takes a lot of effort, because I've been there. I've done that. I know what it's like to feel great walking. I know what it's like when I don't walk, I feel bad. And I know I got to walk. And it's just spiritually tonight, we know what it's like to walk with Jesus. We know what it's like not to walk with Jesus. And we know everything in the middle, the effort it takes to experience that joy and that peace. It takes effort. So Paul says, let's eagerly go after God. Let's eagerly go after the blessings of God that he wants to bestow on our life. He wants us to have great relationships with people. He wants us to have a great relationship with him and all of these things, to feel his presence and be close to him, be used by him. Let's continue to go after those things. It's not just going to fall in our lap. We have to go after them. Again, Paul says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. These verses really just keep getting better and better and more, and give more instruction. Look at verse 13. While we're here, let's look at it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says it again. I have not arrived, but, everybody listening? This one thing I do, this is key to walking with Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. If we are going to work out our salvation, if we are going to mature and grow and move forward, we have got to forget some things. Forgetting past failures, forgetting past faults, failures and faults and... Just, we have to forget about some things. It's hard to forget. It's hard to forget. Forgiving is easier than forgetting. You can forgive someone, but to erase the memory in the mind is nearly impossible, if impossible. I know all things are possible with God, but we're talking about a human design here. We're talking about minds that are photographic, can remember conversations, can remember pictures, can remember all those things. You can forgive somebody, but to forget what happened is nearly impossible. But Paul says, this one thing I have to do. He says, every time I go to move forward, I just can't stop forgetting about the past. You know, Paul was well educated in his day. But yet, his education could not carry over to his new life with Christ. There were some things he had to leave behind. He had to leave these things behind. And I couldn't stop. He says, I had to learn how to forget. This one thing I do. If I don't do anything else, I have to do this. I have to forget. And tonight, that's my prayer. If there's anything I do in my Christian life, anything that I desire to do and want to grow in, it is forgetting. It's so easy to remember. It's easy to forgive. If there would be a choice out of the two. The easier thing to do is forgive, but forget is hard to do. I think about tonight, the elephant, and how they say the elephants remember. They got a memory. I mean, I don't know how they came to that conclusion, but what, they walk up to the elephant and say, hey, you remember what happened yesterday? Oh, yeah, let me tell you, I remember everything from yesterday. I heard a story one time about the chained elephant. And from what I hear, this is a real thing in circuses, is that they will get a baby elephant and chain it up to a post. And then when it gets of age, it'll undo that chain permanently. And he'll stay right there, because he thinks he's still chained up. He can't forget. He thinks. Have y'all heard that about elephants? The chained elephant. There's even a poem out there. He is. It's in his mind that he is still chained up, still bound, and he's grown now. The elephant is, he or she, and so they still think they're bound. And there's times where they chain them up. I think that's how it goes. Is that, you know, they keep them chained. And that elephant is grown. It could snap the chain if it wanted to, but whether it's chained or not chained, it could run free, and it thinks it's still bound. It could snap the chain, what have you. And you know, I think a lot of times us as believers, we're just so chained up from the past. We can break free if we want to, because Jesus has made us free. But I think we're chained up from the past, and if there's anything that I wish that I can break free from, it's just forgetting the past. There's things I did yesterday not so good. There's things I wish I would have done better. And if I'm not careful, I can just stay in the past, and it will slow down my growing process. And so part of working out your salvation is forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Paul says, this is one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So we're called to forget, and we're called to reach. And this is what we have, a stretch. Stretch. You know what it takes to grow and mature? Stretching. Stretching. Exercising. And Paul says, that's exactly what I'm doing. I am trying to forget, and I'm trying to reach. I want to grow. I want to forget about the past. I want to discover new grounds, new joys, new beginnings. I've got to forget, but I got to reach. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm striving to. I'm trying to seize the thing by which I've been seized. In verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I've got to keep pressing. So tonight, child of God, press on. Press on. Move forward. Yes, it gets painful. Yes, we encounter difficulty and we encounter things from our past, but we have to deal with these things and we've got to press forward. We've got to work out our salvation tonight, is what Paul is telling us. And so we see that here. Paul was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Basically, Paul is saying, I'm not yet at all what I should be, but I'm working on it. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Amen, Brother Jeff? I am not what I used to be. Thank God that nobody in here, not even my daughter, used to know who I used to be, BC, before Christ. Not even my wife knew the old Justin. She met the new Justin. And I was thinking about it today, this November 19th, for me, is my 22nd spiritual birthday. 22 years ago, I said yes to Jesus. And God's been working on me ever since. If you see a sign upon my heart, the work isn't finished. What's the song say? If you see the sign upon my heart, I'm under construction. I know I just devour that. But God's at work. We have a sign in the hallway. It says under construction. You know what that means? The work's not finished yet. So as you look at me tonight, there is a sign upon my heart that says I'm still under construction. God is still working on me. Is he still working on you tonight? He's working on all of us, isn't he? And so when we read this, we understand that God is still working on us. Let me give you an illustration. Someone has said one time, working out your own salvation is compared to a gold mine. A gold mine. The gold is buried deep in the mine. In the mind, and must be brought to the surface. Anybody ever go digging for gold? We got any gold diggers in here? Literal gold diggers, of course. Literal. I remember in school we used to go up to Dahlonega and go panning for gold. Man, I can remember that. I can remember sometime we went up there and it was so cold outside. It had that little, whatever the thing was, a trough, and then had that dirt, and they had some little gold flakes in there, and we'd go panning for gold. And there were some times we went down to the creek and panning for gold over there, and it was so fun doing that. But digging for gold, or panning for gold. But the gold is buried deep in the mine and must be brought to the surface. The gold is already there. Salvation is already here the moment we got saved. God put it there. Salvation is here. The gold is already in the dirt. All we are balls of dirt with gold inside if we're saved. But someone has to work in labor to find it. The believer can produce good works that please God because of the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost or the gold. We must labor to bring forth those good things within us, placed there by the Spirit of God. Remember, we do not work to be saved, but we work and serve the Lord because we are saved. That is working out your own salvation. It's like digging for gold. You know, you got that shovel and you're digging. I know it's down there. I've found it before. It's there. Whoa, what a joy it is to find a gold nugget. It's there. Last time I dug, it was there. I'm digging. Woo! Wow. Look at that. I'm going to cash this in and buy me a new pickup truck. How about that? I'm just teasing, Lord. I mean, you know, if you want to give me one. Those times when you're fast at work in your spiritual life, and you're praying, you're reading the Word, you're trying to take it in, and you want to get close to God, and God gives you a nugget from His Word. God gives you a nugget from a message. God speaks to you through a circumstance, something like that, and you rejoice over it because it's just like You struck gold. I think tonight we need to be some gold diggers. I think there needs to be some gold diggers in here tonight. And when we go home, when we go through the rest of our week, let us just, and I know we can't open the Bible and stay there all day. We got things to do and places to go and things like that, people to see. But at least when we're doing what we're doing, let's just think about God sometimes. Just think about, God, what will you have me do today? Lord, show me a verse, just one verse. One verse that I can meditate on and think about and chew on. Let it become a reality in me. Lord, you'll be driving down the road. Lord, I pray for this person. And I pray for this situation. Just give a thought toward God. And you'll be surprised at the nuggets you might find with just a little bit of quality time. See, a lot of people are like, oh, I got to read a whole chapter today. Oh, I got to read a whole book. I got to read a book of the Bible today. Oh, you know what? You know, that's not my approach at all. I don't jump in here and look, there's a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with trying to read the Bible in a year or 6 months. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good challenge to have. But my approach, I'm very practical in life, and I'm simple-minded. I'm looking for a word, one word or one verse. That's all I need. Like this verse here we're reading about tonight. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at verse 13, Philippians 2. Think about this verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What about taking that verse and thinking about it? It is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means everything that I'm doing that is that is wholesome, that is true, that enhances my faith and allows me to grow spiritually, that's God doing that. That's God giving me that desire to do that. God will, the reason why I'm here at church tonight is because I have a desire to be here. God put that desire there. The reason why I have a desire to read His words, because that's God working in me. The reason why you have a desire to be here, to read His word and to be around spiritual things and to be around good fellowship of Christians is because God put that there. And you think about it, and it has a, you can experience a lot of great things. You experience peace out of that. And again, God will show you some things. But for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Just take a verse. That's what I do. I just take a verse and I think about it until it becomes alive in my heart. Let me hurry. And so we see this verse here. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Of course, we use the illustration of the gold mine and going deep. That's another picture of working out your salvation. Let me say this briefly. God's work in us, and this is under my second point still, the construction of working out your own salvation. God's work in us is threefold. Excuse me. First of all, God worked for us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Romans 5:8, don't turn there. For God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. First, God's work in us was God's work for us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Number two, it's God works in us. He worked for us. He died for us on the cross. Now, it's God working in us. He daily conforms us to the image of His Son. Again, the verse says in verse number 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so God is working in our hearts and puts the desire in us to perform His will. God works within us. He constrains us. He conforms us. He commands us to perform His will, to walk in His will, to go after His will. And so the things that we do great on the outside of us is a result of what God is doing on the inside of us. And so God, He worked for us on the cross, and now He's working in us daily, conforming us to the image of His Son. And so God's work in us is God worked for us. God works in us. And what about this? God works through us. He does a work for us. He does a work in us to do a work through us. He uses our lives as a vessel to glorify Him and carry the gospel to others. We are His workmanship, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let me just read you the verse briefly. It's in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. I'll just give it to you for the sake of time. I got to hurry. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," meaning since salvation, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are to work our salvation and bring forth good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we see that there. We see that God's ultimate goal is to do a work through us. Do a work through us. Remember Gideon? We ain't got time to get into all that. But God did a work in Gideon, and then He did a work through Gideon. He came to Gideon. He was threshing wheat by the wine press. The enemy had come in, and he was in a place of struggle. He was in a place of fear, and he was trying to savor what resources he had, but he was doing it in a place, an obscure place, threshing wheat by the wine press. You do that on the threshing floor. But then God showed up to him and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon didn't view himself a mighty man, but God did, because of who God and what God was going to create out of him. And so God is wanting to do a work in us so He can do a work through us. The only good in us is what God has placed there, and we must bring it forth. Work out your own salvation. That's the command. Then we see the construction. Work out. And then lastly tonight, and I'll be through, the conviction. The conviction. Back in Philippians chapter number 2, listen to this. Let me find it. I had it marked. Philippians 2:12, the other part of that verse, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Fear and trembling. This is the conviction part of working out your own salvation. Working out your own salvation is something every Christian should take seriously. We know that. The Bible says we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You remember when Paul was on the Damascus Road, he had experience with the Lord, and he was knocked down, and you remember? And he said to the Lord, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" That's Acts 9 and verse number 6. He had a fear. We believe that's when Paul got saved, because he said, "Lord," capital L, meaning Master, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" He was earnest and serious about pleasing God. And so we ought to be earnest. We ought to be serious. We ought to work out our own salvation with a reverential fear toward God. Not that He's going to strike us dead if we don't work out our salvation, but that we love Him, we respect Him, we thank Him. And because of that, we want to work out our salvation. We want to present ourselves the best version we could possibly be. We're to work it out with fear and trembling. So we see that there. And then, of course, the writer of Hebrews warns the believer not to neglect their salvation. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews 2 says this. Hebrews 2 and verse number 3. Listen to this. Hebrews 2, 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" Now, sometimes there's a couple different ways of interpreting this. People would say the neglect of receiving salvation, you cannot escape the judgment of God. If you neglect receiving salvation, you can't escape His judgment. It's coming upon you if you're not saved. The other part of that is the neglect of salvation already received, we cannot escape the judgment of the world. Just simply means that if we neglect our salvation, then we're not going to be a person who's an overcomer. We're not going to be victorious. How shall we escape? You can interpret that a couple different ways, as we just said, but how are we going to escape this world? How are we going to escape the temptations of this world if we neglect so great salvation? Listen to this. The word neglect means careless and not to care for or attend to. And so we neglect our salvation when we fail to pray, study God's word, become slack in church attendance. We're neglecting our salvation. We are, when we don't pray, when we don't do these things, we're not working out our salvation, but we're neglecting it. We're being careless. And what happens when we're careless? Trouble comes. We slip, don't we? Look at listen to verse 1, Hebrews 2, 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slide? That's where we get the term backslide. When we let things slip, we start to slide. And we fall victim to things of carnality in this world. We neglect our salvation. And so that's what that says there. And then, of course, in the book of Timothy, there's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, but 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Let me just give this to you briefly. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Listen to this in verse 14. Timothy was told by Paul not to neglect the gift that's in thee. 1 Timothy 4, 16. He says this. Let me make sure I got it right. 4:14. Yeah, 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Timothy was told by Paul not to neglect the gift that's within thee. Oftentimes the believer becomes cold and indifferent towards spiritual things and will neglect spiritual things and will and neglects those spiritual things and will need to be stirred up or revived concerning God's work. Timothy was told to stir up the gift that is within him. 2 Timothy 1:6, in this verse we just read, he says, neglect not the gift that's within thee. But then 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He says to stir up. Sometimes we have to be stirred and revived, don't we? So that we can move forward in our Christian life. Timothy was to stir up the gift that was within him. And so I guess we could say that he has to work out his own salvation, work to bring forth that which God had put within him. We must work to get all that we can out of ourselves for the service of God. But quickly, the word stir up here in 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. It's through the idea of a flame being rekindled that's about to go out. We can't lose our salvation, but our flame can go low. It's like the... I can remember burning leaves many times in my grandma's house growing up and haven't done it in a while. But burn that leaf pile and then it'll get real low and then that flame just about go out. So I have to stir it up and put some more leaves on there and it'll go back. You know, spiritually it's the same way. Sometimes we just, if we're not working out our salvation, if we're neglecting our salvation and we're not giving heed to spiritual things, our flame can get low. It'll never go out because salvation is eternal. But sometimes we just have to stir the ashes around. Sometimes we just got to stir ourselves to get a flame. And then we can sprinkle a little bit of ammunition, sprinkle a little bit of kindling on there. And then it'll go a little higher, a little higher. And then we'll have us a big fire burning for the Lord. So there's the conviction part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we see that. Then there's the construction, as I mentioned a moment ago, work out. And then there's the command. Paul says, this is something that we must do, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, there are certain genetics physically that you can possess so that when you want to get healthy and get into shape, your transformation can come rather quickly. Certain genetics. Of course, anybody could get healthy. It just takes a lot of effort. Then there's that certain genetic spiritually, salvation, that we can get into shape. We can get healthy spiritually. And our transformation can occur quickly with effort. That's the message tonight. That's the lesson. Work out your own salvation. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for our service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God and what they mean to us and how we love them, Lord. I pray that you would just be with them and keep them safe. Be with all of us. Help us have a great night, good night's rest. Wake up tomorrow ready to move forward and to apprehend that which we've been apprehended for. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything to mention before we leave? Everybody good? Okay. Good, good. That's good. That's so good to hear. Cassie? Good. Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, really. Really. 91, huh? Yeah. Praise the Lord.